Well, good morning. Everybody a little wet around the edges? Nothing wrong with that. Those that are in the foyer, if you be coming in, getting ready to worship this morning, I'm going to ask all of y'all to go ahead and stand. We get to come to the house of the Lord. And whoever had the idea of just an hour later on a holiday is a great idea. David was excited about that too. We did that for the band this morning because they get here a couple hours before you do to make sure that they are ready and prepared. And so hopefully you have readied and prepared your heart to receive what God has for you. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to the house to worship you, to give you praise and glory and honor, to receive, Lord, so we in turn can go and give. Thank you for this new year. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Father, Lord, to come to the banquet table and receive all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
That says every morning his mercies are new. And sometimes when you have a rough day or a rough go at it, or if it's a good day, but you always know you have that next morning. And his mercies, you get a brand new 24, and it's so good. But there's something so incredibly special about a new year, about a new day. And to me, it's so incredibly special to be right here, January 1st, for this new day. And Isaiah, it says, and no matter what your 2016 looked like, it could have been amazing, and I hope it was. You may have had some disappointments. You may have had some hard times. You may have had some good times. I hope you did have some good times. I'm sure you had a lot of things to celebrate and that you grew in and that God worked in you. And as amazing as it was, Isaiah says, but forget all that. He says, forget all that, because it is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. I am about to do something new. I am about to do something new. Do you believe that? I believe that so much. So much. I believe that he is about to do something new. And he says, see, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. He is about to do something new, and he's already begun it in you. And he's going to do it in you. He's going to work it in you, and it's going to flow from you, and it's all going to be new. In this next song, it says, let your spirit make me new. So this morning, just raise your hands, worship him, thank him that he's doing something new, that he is making your spirit, your being new and better. because the best is coming. Amen. Thank you. unreserved, unrestrained. Your love is wild. Your love is wild for me. It is in shy. It's unashamed. Your love is proud to be seen with me. To be seen with me. You don't give your heart in process. You don't hide yourself to tears. Controlled, uncontained, your love is fire, burning bright for me. It's not a spark, it's not just a flame. Your love is light, and all the world will see. It's not a troubled mind. It isn't anxious. It's not the restless kind. Your love's not passive. It's never disengaged. It's always present. It hangs on every word we say. Love keeps its promises. You don't. read you something that really resonates with me right now. Here's to the end of this chapter, to all the late nights, early mornings, learnings gained and experiences shared. Here's to love. Here's to loss. Here's to honoring, letting go and transcending. Here's to growth. Here's to expanding. Here's to life with other people that would stop the world to celebrate your presence. Here's to you and your blank canvas. And here's to filling it up with nothing less than what calls home your aliveness.
Aren't you glad he doesn't give his heart in pieces? Gives it all. You know, he tells us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, the reason I believe he asks us and tells us to do that, because he loves us with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul, with all of his strength. Right? That's good. If you didn't hear anything else this morning, that's good. God loves you with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength. And you're going to see that this morning as we talk about some things. Give you an update on Mother. Thank you for all your prayers and concerns over the last week. She's doing good, considering. Let me share something with you that helped our family tremendously. And when I tell you the story, you can imagine why. But last Saturday night and Sunday night, I really couldn't sleep, because every time I woke up, I saw my mother tumbling down steps, and it's just a horrifying thought. And even though I believe in replacement thinking, that's a hard thought to replace. It's very difficult. So Saturday when it happened, I was out in the back fish and shoot some skeets with John Henry, and of course Dusty comes running out on the deck with just blood-curdling scream, crying and not telling me what happened. She just says, "Come, you gotta come." And it was just horrifying look on her face, and I thought Jet was horribly hurt. And so I ran around the side of the house to go to a little tree house that I knew he was in when before this happened. And when I was headed to the tree house, somebody, I don't know who it was, came out the front door and said, "Buren, it's your mother. She's fallen down the steps." And of course, my first thought was, how in the did she fall down steps? There's no way she's not going to be walking down steps. It's impossible for that to have happened. And she was sitting in a walker, and she had to go to the potty. So Barbara says, "Stay right here, and I'll go get your potty." And put it, you know, her porta potty and handicap potty, and put it in the restroom, Jet's restroom. And while Barbara was gone, she was backing up in her walker like she does, just moving back. I assumed that when she got to the stairwell, that one of the wheels came off, dropped off, and she's thrown down the steps. But Monday morning, and this is after two sleepless nights and just a tormented mind. I just could not get that out of my mind. I prayed. I did everything I could do. And I said, "God, I can't live with this. I can't go to bed every night waking up and seeing this in my head." And even though she had no broken bones, and we're all grateful and thankful for that. But Monday morning, Dr. Tackle was talking to Chris, and he said, "Chris, Big Mama could not have fallen down those steps like that. She would have been broken all to pieces." Said she rode that walker down. He said, "I don't know how, but she rode that walker down." Well, we had kind of gotten bits and pieces. Mother would say something to Eddie, and she'd say something to me over the Saturday and Sunday and Monday. Well, Monday morning I was at her at the hospital, and out of the clear blue, she looked at me and she said, "I thought I was past those steps," which told me she turned her walker thinking she's going down the hall. So I called Eddie and I said, "Eddie, I think Mother, she rode that walker down them steps." And he said, "Well, she told me she did." She rode that walker down a 10, 12 steps, hit a landing and went down a few more steps because in the basement where the kids' bedrooms are, the walker was laying on top of her. Well, for me, that was a much better image. And I've been able to this week sleep and knowing. I told my mother one day, I said, "When you get out of here, I'm going to put you into extreme sports of the oldest person to ride a walker down the steps and to get through it." Of course, she had no idea what that was. So, but we are grateful. We're thankful. It's amazing what a moment can do to disrupt your life and just change your life, and what a week later can do to renew your life and restore your life. And so we've been grateful and thankful for this week of goodness in all of this. All right, who's ready for a party? Party, it's New Year's. Let's party, right? I partied last night, man. I went to bed at 9:30. So I am wound up. I don't know what time you went to bed, but I'm wound up. You may be wound down, but you're going to have to endure me this morning because I got a good night's rest. I got up at 11:15 to go get some water, and I thought it was like 6 in the morning. I looked at the stove, the clock stove. It said 11:15. I said, "You got to be kidding." Not even, I still went back to bed and didn't see the new year come in. But I got a great night's sleep, and I'm ready to rock and roll. Are you ready? It's New Year. Best is yet to come. Whatever happened last year is last year, and now it's a brand new year. Aren't you glad God always gives a new year? You know, it's a new day every day. This is a new 24. You got a new 24 hours this morning when you got up. You got a new day. His mercies are new every morning. He renews my strength as the eagle renews himself. Aren't you glad of that? Now, I want to give you, this is good stuff right here. I've quoted that scripture so many times, but you know, what you got to understand is that the eagle renews himself. That's good stuff. Didn't say God renewed him. He renewed himself. You're going to have to renew yourself. You're going to have to sometimes do some things to get the renewal going, right? So just remember that this year, it's not just going to happen. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to come to the banquet table, enjoy the food from the banquet table, but you're going to have to do it. I'm getting to the end of this message, and I'm not even supposed to get there yet. He gives you the invitation. You RSVP. You come, but it's up to you to come. You got to come to the table. You can't make you eat. You ever try to make a kid eat? Look at me. For all of you who's got kids, you can't make them eat. They will eat when they get hungry. Trust me, they will eat when they get hungry. You ever tried to put food in your mouth when you're not hungry? You know, you can't make them eat. So God can't make you eat, but you got to decide on your own that they who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You got to come to the table yourself. Hallelujah. You got to come. Let's read it. Luke chapter 14. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus explained. Now, look, won't you look at this? This is a very common, ordinary table. This was not a banquet. This was just a meal that this man is sitting at the table with Jesus. They're just having dinner or lunch. I don't know what they were having. May have been breakfast, might have been lunch, or might have been supper. Whatever it was, this man says, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." And then he said, Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Call goes out to everybody, but everybody don't respond. Call goes out to the whole world, but everybody doesn't respond. As a matter of fact, and I'm still getting to the end of this message, I don't want to get there yet. See, the prodigal son came home and enjoyed the banquet table that his elder brother could have had every day of his life and didn't have it. He was there to enjoy it every day of his life, but he wasn't aware of what he had. Many Christians today sit in churches, sit in their homes all across the world, and don't even know that God's opened a banquet table for you every single day of your life. Is that good? Every single day of your life. And he says, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet's ready. But they all began to make excuses. One said, I've just bought a field. I've got to inspect it. Excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I want to try them out. Excuse me. Another said, I have a wife, so I can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. I just want to stop there this morning, because what I want to talk about today is how this invitation's gone out. And we're going to talk about the lame and the crippled. And so, you know, it's amazing. He called them lame and then he called them crippled. Like there's double emphasis in this. I think he's emphasizing the lame and the crippled more than he is the blind and the poor. He wanted to know that they were lame and they were crippled. Maybe they were lame and they were crippled because of the poor and the blind. Maybe what happened to them and they didn't realize what they had. And well, gosh, I'm getting to the end of this thing. Y'all, stop. Y'all rushing me. You want to get out of here. Y'all are rushing me. Hold on. I'll get there. So we're going to talk about it. But the Jews believed, and this is what they believed. They had a image, a vision, a dream for a messianic banquet. And they believed that one of the pictures to the Jews had was God would one day break into history when the golden days of a new age would begin. The sad story of that is there's still a nation, there's still an Israel who is waiting for God to break through for the golden age to begin, not knowing the golden age has come. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad you don't have to wait for the ship to come in? It's already come in. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait for the golden age to happen? It's already happened. Do you know that in very high church denominations, they believe that Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, is for the golden age? They believe a golden age will usher in and that we can't live out that sermon yet. That until the millennial reign of Christ, that's what they believe. They believe that there's going to be this millennial, I don't want to get this way. They believe that one day there's going to be 1,000 years of peace and then we can live out this. You know, I get amazed at preachers and I hear them talk about everything that's happening and it's the sign of the end times and they get all upset about it. And I want to go, if it's a sign of end times, why don't you just let it happen? You got that, didn't you? If you believe that this is a sign, why are you fussing about everything and how people are doing Israel and how people do? If you believe it's a sign of end times, won't you let the end times happen? It's the sign of the beginning of times. You kingdom people are not. God has begun, the golden age has begun. It's not going to happen, it's already happening. There's a new day that Jesus came on the scene to renew and to restore. It's already here. The banquet has begun. Jesus thought of the kingdom as a continual banquet. And there's 3 types of people. And the first one said, we're sufficient. I've got oxen. I've got land. I don't need this. I don't need this. You know, I live most of my life on the mountaintop. I live most of my life sufficient. I live most of my life very content. But you know what? No matter who you are, no matter who you are in this world, there's going to come a time in your life you're going to need faith. You're going to need hope. You're going to need love. You're going to need forgiveness. You're going to need mercy. You're going to need understanding. You're going to need somebody there to care. You're going to need it sometime in this world. In this world, as hopeful as we believe, in this world, things are going to happen. You're going to need it. You know, I felt pretty good last Saturday afternoon. And in one moment, I went from very sufficient life to a very insufficient life. I went in one moment from feeling so awesome and so wonderful and so great to a moment needing God's amazing grace so much. And I am so grateful and I am so thankful that I've got a God that I can depend on. I got a God who will give me grace when I need grace. Because if I had not had His grace, I would not have been able to do what I did. I would not have been able to make decisions I made. I would not be able to endure what I endured. Everybody in this life, at some time or another, you may not think you're going to need it. The oxen may be there. The land may be there. There may be, the herds may be there. There may be all on the vine. But there will come a time in this life when we're going to need God's faith, God's love, and God's hope. Everybody's going to get there. But there's a time in life when, and I want to tell you a story. I want to read you a story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. What a beautiful story about a table. And it says at this table, one day David asked, "Is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been with Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, sir, I am," Ziba replied. The king asked him, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show," now listen, watch this, "God's kindness to them." I underlined that in my Bible, and I was sitting earlier this week and I was meditating on God's kindness. And I thought, what's God's kindness? Just talking to myself. You know, we have this thing been going around for several years called random acts of kindness. Everybody knows about random. You know, somebody in front of you pays for your meal when you're going through, you know, Chick-fil-A. That ain't never happened to me. So if I'm ever behind you at Chick-fil-A, would you just do a random act of kindness so I can just know that really happens? Because I ain't had that happen yet. Okay, now I want to show you the difference, though, in a random act of kindness and God's kindness. You ready? A random act of kindness is you don't know who's behind you. If you knew them, you probably wouldn't do it. That's right. A lot of people who are buying that meal for the car behind them, if they knew who they were, they wouldn't do it. But God's kindness is, if it's your enemy, you'll show kindness. Here is David showing God's kindness, not his kindness, God's kindness to a man who was his enemy and tried to kill him a whole time he was alive. He was jealous of him. He hated him. He did everything in his power to kill him. As a matter of fact, David got to the place in his life where he confessed these words, "I'm a dead man. He will eventually get me. He will eventually kill me." And after all of this, one of the first acts of David's power was not to execute judgment, not to execute vengeance, but to execute love and forgiveness and kindness. What a king. What a king. Good kings arose and good kings fail. Bad kings arose and bad kings fail. But here's a king whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his first act, one of his very first acts was, "I'm not going to execute vengeance on that family. Is there anybody left?" And he said, "Yes. Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons still alive. He's crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lodebar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Machir, son of Amiel." Lodebar means there is no pasture. Lodebar means where there is no pasture, where there is no satisfaction, where there is no contentment, where there's this constant need of hunger. And they can never, ever be satisfied. Lodebar. David sent for him and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. And when he came to David, he bowed to the ground in deep respect and said, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth replied, "I am your servant." David said, "I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." What a story. What a story. Jonathan's a type of Jesus. David's a type of God who says, "I'm going to show you kindness because of Jesus' sake." You know why God shows you kindness? Because he was appeased when the cross happened and the sacrifice of all sacrifices took place. And he said, "It appeased me." It pleased God to bruise him, the Bible says in Isaiah 53. It pleased God to bruise him because that was the only sacrifice that God could accept that would fully, completely appease God. And it was a sweet-smelling savior from then till now. And for Christ's sake, he has forgiven you. Aren't you glad of that? Not for your sake, not for my sake. I don't forgive people for my sake. I forgive people for Christ's sake. I'm forgiven for Christ's sake. And so he's brought this crippled. Let me give you the story how he became crippled. A few chapters before this, you can read it. I think it's in chapter 4. There was a war attack going on, and the nursemaid of Mephibosheth, and he's 5 years old, and she's got him in her arms, and she's running. She's running away from what she should have been running to. She's running away from what she should have been running to. And as she was running, she fell. And when she fell, it crippled him in both his feet. And he was crippled from then on. You know how many people are crippled because they're running from what they should be running to? They're running from God and they should be running to God. I know I'm going to have oodles of stories from the nursing home, but I got my real first one this morning. I walked in and I only talked with two ladies. Both of them can't walk, but both of them are matriarchs in the kingdom. I know them both. They're both matriarchs in the kingdom. They've been matriarchs in the church in Griffin, Georgia, and Spalding County for probably 50 some odd years. Both of them very committed to God. Both of them very committed to Christ. Both of them very committed. But one was committed to an organization that preached hellfire damnation, that preached judgment, that preached such harshness and criticism and negativity. That was one of them. And the other one came to a place of love and hope and positive thinking and that things are going to get better. One said her daughter was stupid and all this happened in a matter of months, and this woman was all right. She was clear as a bell in her mind, called her daughter stupid, And she said, and everybody else in the world, nobody, everybody thinks they're right. And all this negativity is pouring out. And I'm knowing her. I've known her for years. I've seen her in the county for years and years. And then I went to another one and had a conversation with somebody who's in the same condition, but yet it's pouring out love and goodness. Because if she was run with somebody who crippled her. She ran with judgmentalism, criticism, doubt. She ran not the way the race ought to be run. I want to run the race the way I'm supposed to run the race. I want to run the race and finish the race the way I really want to run the race and finish the race. Don't you? Oh, loaded bar. Place of no satisfaction. Go get me from Mephibosheth. Now here's the conclusion. Verse 8, Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "What is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, "I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for your master's household." What a God. God says, you know what? This is not going to be on you. All of my goodness to you, somebody else is paying for it. Somebody else is planting the seed. Somebody else is farming the land. You're just going to benefit from it. We are saved not by works which we have done, but by his grace hath he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of our... God says it's not going to be by your works. Jesus is going to do all the work for you so you can just benefit. Wow. Wow. This thing's not supposed to be laborious. "Come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus was raised up a carpenter. And in a carpenter, history states that people came from miles around to get the yoke that Jesus made for their oxen, because he made the best yokes around. And the oxen could plow better because his yokes he made on them and for them was easy. Wow. His yoke is easy. The king said all of this, "But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will eat here at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba replied, "Yes, my lord, the king, I am your servant, and I will do all that you have commanded." And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and from then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth was crippled in both feet. He lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the table of the king. Not sometimes, not every once in a while, but regularly he ate at the table. And at the table of this crippled Mephibosheth, you know what I love about the table? It's when you come to the table, everybody's equal. When you sit down at the table, we're all on the same level. We're all on the same plane. Whether it's a little girl or crippled or someone really hurting, we're on the same table. We're at the same level. The playing ground's the same. God loves everybody the same. It's at the table that all of us can come and sit and eat from the table, the banquet table. The same food. Same food. Same meat. Ken Muller set me free on fatty steaks, man. Whew. I try to get them the most fat on them I can find. good meat to give me. You know, he said, my meat's to do the will of God. That's the meat I give you. Do God's will. It's better for you than your will. Forgiveness is better than vengeance. And aren't you glad? I eat the bread. And he gave us bread to give us strength. I can drink the wine to give me joy. I can eat the veggies for my healing. And I can eat the fruit for my love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. We're all at the same level. I want you to know, when Buren's up here preaching, you see Pastor Buren up there. You don't see me during the week. I ain't the same guy up there. I mean, I'm a good guy. I don't sin. I don't do all that stuff. But, you know, I want you to tell you, we're all eating at the same table. We're all eating from the same table. But, you know, it's up to us. Am I going to come to the table or not? I have the choice. Am I going to eat or not eat? And you know what? And you know this, you should know this. If you've been around sick people very often, you'll find out the longer they go without food, the less they are hungry for it. Now, Mother had a hard time this week getting back her appetite and eating. She's still struggling to getting back a full appetite because she just hadn't been eating. And it just, many Christians don't have an appetite for the spiritual things. They live in Lodibar. For there's no pasture because they're not aware. The older brother said to the daddy, what is this? Here's this guy who's gone away and wasted all of his substance on righteous living, prostitutes. But he ends up not eating at a banquet table, but eating the husk that the hogs left in the hog pen. Boy, how many believers, how many people eat the husk? But he woke up and he said, whoa, wait a minute. My father's got a house, and it's a lot better than this hog pen. I'm going back to my father's house. And when the father saw him coming, he didn't say, oh, no. He didn't say, here comes that runaway son. He said, here comes my son. My son who was dead is now alive. My son who was lost is now found. Kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back. Let's have a party. The older brother gets mad. I've been here all this time. You never gave me a party. You never gave me a party. Now, can I paraphrase a little bit? You know I'm going to do it anyway. Father looked at him and said, we could have been partying all this time. This son that was gone is really not the prodigal son. You are. Because you're not aware of what you have. Everything I have is yours. All you had to do is ask me any moment, let's have a party. Let's have a party. Anytime, all you had to do is ask me any moment, let's have a banquet. Let's have a party. All you had to do was ask. But no, you're pharisaical, thinking you're so righteous and good and judging everybody else, including your brother. And you can't feast at a banquet table with that attitude, and I'm done. Because that's good stuff. You can't feast at the banquet table with your attitude. It's all about an attitude. Do you know that yet? You ever seen a kid wouldn't eat because he had a bad attitude? You ever not eat because you had a bad attitude? You mad at somebody? Hard to eat when you're mad. When you try to eat when you're mad, it really makes you sick. It's really not that good. Get your attitude right and the food will taste better. Get your attitude right and you can feast at the banquet table. Start loving your brother that you're judging, criticizing, and start forgiving them, loving them, you can have a party. You can feast. One other thing. When Mephibosheth was at the table, David's table, level was here. Everybody's on the same level. But you know what you couldn't see? Come on. You know what you can't see at the table? Couldn't see his crippled feet. Nobody knew he was crippled at the table. Because God hides you. You know what Mephibosheth means? Shame. Oh. I wanted to stop. Means shame. Shameful. I'm glad that I've been at this table now. Oh. Long time. How many years, Barbara? Not just pastoring. I'm talking about 1973. Came back to the table, a shameful young man. But I ain't felt shame since. Well, once or twice. but you know, let me get past this moment. But the same Buren that put his shameful, crippled feet back under the master's table in 1973 has continued to put those shameful feet sometimes under the table. And I know when I'm at my father's table, I'm all right. I don't have any shame. I'm all forgiven and all good. Because my crippled feet are under the table. You just have to continue to remind yourself your feet's under the table. Your shame's gone. Your crippledness is gone. It's not going to be that way forever. The invitation has been given. You have RSVP'd, but he can't make you eat. It's up to you and it's up to me to continually feast at the master's table. I told Mike he left my house last night about 8:30. I told him, don't you go off nowhere else and miss the table in the morning. Don't you do it. I knew he would. So he said, I'm going home. I saw a little Facebook post a little later. I knew he wasn't home. Got sidetracked by a couple of guys and he got home at 1 o'clock this morning. I'm going to end this story good. I ain't shaming Mike. So he showed up here about 10:15 this morning. He said, where is everybody? I said, don't start till 11. I said, but you're right on time. You normally get here at 10:15. We start at 10. So I went outside and was talking to him, and he filled me in on what happened. But he was with two people who don't believe. Don't believe in God. But when he left, there was an entrance, an invitation to them to a table that they just may eat from. And I want to give you a prophecy for this church for this year. There are going to be oodles of people who aren't eating at the table who are going to come and eat from the table. There's going to be lots of people who aren't eating at the table who are going to come and eat at the banquet table. and get the joy and get the peace and get the love. Amen. Happy New Year.
As the band is coming, our ushers are receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, and you have your connection card. I'd love for you to commit this year to making sure that you fill that out each and every week for us. Lots of things to sign up for and be a part of. This Wednesday night is our first Wednesday. You don't want to miss out. It's a relaxed, passionate time of worship. And so we will be here 6:30. And we're doing something a little new. The third Wednesday of this month, January, February, and March. And we'll tell you more about the rest of the year later. But we're having what's called At the Table. And you can actually come and enjoy a meal. Elizabeth Doss Orr will be cooking for us. And it will be, there'll be something for everybody. It's kind of a salad bar, potato bar, clean eating type food. So we will do that in the youth building at 6 o'clock on that third Wednesday. $5 for adults and $3 for children. And we'll give you more information next week and have a handout for you on that. So God's good, isn't he? All the time. I'm going to pray over the offering. I'm also going to pray. B.J. O'Neill let me know that a friend of his yesterday was in a hunting accident, was shot. And it killed him. So we want to pray for that family. We know that he's with the Lord, but the family is mourning a devastation. And so, Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come, Lord, the first day of the year, bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings and alms, Lord, to your house. Lord, we ask you to be with the Brown family, Father, Lord, as they're mourning the loss. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, that you open their eyes to see you in every aspect of it. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, as we stand and we worship, Father, Lord, we are so grateful and thankful for all that you've done in 2016 and what you have planned for 2017. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me.